Welcome back to the Ramblecast. This is welcome the extension, back. The bonus, all of the good stuff that you wanted to hear us talk about, and much, much more. Did you want to hear my washing machine going off in the background?
Is that what you say, washing machine?
I only say wash because you say, well, where is Chicago located?
Illinois.
Are you sure it's Illinois and not Illinois?
Who says Illinois? It's Illinois. You okay. Talk to anyone from Illinois, it's Illinois.
Okay. You know? All right. Fair enough. What about? Okay. Fair enough. So.
Yeah, I don't care.
I think
I always say Illinois, but that's okay. I'll admit it's fuck. I'm not from there. I don't care.
Nick and I, before we started recording, we were talking about the way people speak and pronounce things, and the fascination that Nick, from an anthropological point of view, is fascinated by those things, and just the different instances that come up in your life where people point out, like, that's not how you say that, you know.
Well, people say Cali, and I go, are you from Cali? I go, no, I'm from California. If you want to say Cali, I don't care, but I don't recognize that as a.
I'm way too fucking high to say the rest of the world. Yeah.
But yet you say Frisco, and no one from San Francisco says Frisco.
Again, I don't care. I'm not from Frisco. So I don't. I don't care. I mean, I'm not. I'm just being honest. I don't care. I'm not from. I say Frisco because, you know.
Well,
I don't say 49ers. I usually just say Niners.
Yeah.
Just like Sixers, you know? I mean,
yeah, Sixers. I don't say 76ers. I say Sixers, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I say Chargers. I say fucking assholes.
To just finish my one thing that I was going to tell Nick, though, is that about my aunt, who is dead set on still saying Washington as many times as she possibly can. My sister, who lives in Washington State, came out to visit last summer. My aunt was threatening her by saying, like, oh, I'm going to teach your daughter, like, to say it Washington. So it was pretty funny.
That's child abuse.
Cause my niece is, she's about 3 years old. She's in that cute toddler stage where, you know, it's yeah. fun when they're not yours.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
My sister's father-in-law taught, I think it was my oldest nephew at the time when he was probably 2 or 3 years old. Like every time he saw a cooler, he didn't call it a cooler. He called it cold beer. So you saw like, ooh, cold beer.
Things.
I taught Jay to say, ooh, babes, look, babes, because that was, you know, obviously back in the, you know, mm-hmm. the late '80s, or you were allowed to say that, where now you can't. And I would never say that now, but, oh, look, babes.
Yeah.
I say it in front of your mom. We're just checking out babes, mom. That's what we were doing. Cause we'd be sitting there in the mall waiting for his mom to shop. So I'm like, hey, you go. So what have you guys been doing? Checking out babes.
Well,
I go, I don't know where he got it from. I don't know.
It's funny. That's just good. That's just good comedy.
Yeah.
Sadly, Jay is actually being investigated for some, you know, allegations apparently from back in the '80s. So that's why he can no longer be on this podcast.
Well, it's true, but you know, I can't be accused of it because there's no proof that I told him to say that.
It related to this story though, Jack, I remember being at the mall with my dad. You know, I was young, maybe 5, you know, 6. And my mom had gone into another like store, as you do at the mall, you know. It's just like mom goes off to shop and the men are alone, right? So I'm sitting there with my dad and I'm like, where's mom? You know, and he's like, she's not coming back. You think we should You think we should start looking for a new mom? And I am perplexed. I am 6, you know, I'm just like, what? What the fuck? Like, I have to choose a new mom? Like, this does not seem right. Like, everything about that
kind pick of a hot thing, one, like, right? Is that what he said?
I was very confused as to what my dad was trying to imply on me, like, at that point, or impress upon me. So
it's fun messing with kids, though. I mean,
it is. I would say the same thing.
Yeah, my youngest nephew, when he was had to be three, you know, the attic door in the ceiling, you know, he looked at me and he goes, "What's that?" I said, "That's where your sister lives." And he goes, "I don't have a sister." I went, "You remember that?" I was like, it's fun.
We used to tell Jay when he's like one and a half, two, where was I born? Under a rock.
Yeah.
So we tell people, "Where were you born?" Under a rock. That's what we told him. I go, I don't know. I don't really get this stuff. He's got an imagination. What do you want me to do?
Put him in an art class.
You could mess with kids back then. It was okay. You know, it wasn't like they were going to be ruined for life. Now you can't do anything. It's like, oh, there's rules.
I mean, Jay turned out okay.
I don't know. He still thinks he lives under a rock. I don't know.
So anyway, you guys were going to talk about some reviews of some movies, right? Like, you saw, Jack, you were mentioning Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, Nick was had given it such great reviews the week before. Mm-hmm. I said, it was getting great reviews. I said, I have to go see it. And so we went to the Alamo Draft House, which has become our favorite place to go watch a movie. And it was funny, I was going to Jay. I said, "Have you ever been there?" Him and Colleen, he goes, "What?" And I go, "You really need to go to the Alamo Draft House. It's the best place." He goes, "What are you talking about?" And so he thought I was serious because he's the first person that he took me there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you there, right?
And he's looking at me like going, and I'm doing it so deadpan. I go, "No, it's great. They bring you food." I go, "You can get drinks there." I go, "The movie, no one talks because you can get kicked out." He goes, I took you there." I go, "Look, Jay, you don't have to have everything. Oh, I took you there." He was getting mad, but I was enjoying it.
He's never going to know when you're going to go senile.
It's already happened.
Okay. What are you talking? I took you there.
I was the first one because he's always going to be first. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the movie. I thought now you said you cried, right?
I cried at the end. I really cried in the movie I saw the week before. Oh, Jojo Rabbit.
I think you cried.
I did get a little teary-eyed at the end of Ford versus Ferrari. When Matt Damon is looking at the house at the very end, you know, with the kid and all that. That kind of got to me.
Both actors were excellent in this movie.
They were.
Everyone was excellent in this movie.
So the actors, just refresh me as to the actors.
Christian Bale, Matt Damon, the guy from Deadwood.
Yeah. And then you have Lucas, what's his name?
Oh, the fake Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, that guy.
He used to look like when he was younger, he used to look like Matthew McConaughey. Now he just looks like an asshole.
Yeah.
because of this movie. I mean, he plays the prick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but it was the only part I cried is when they saw the classic Mustang, the black one, and his son is touching it.
Oh yeah.
The assholes likes it. I cried because I realized I was never going to own one.
I didn't think it was black.
It was a black. It was because there was a black one. They had a white one too, but there was black one he was touching.
Yeah.
I right when it came on the screen, because that's the car I've wanted since I was a kid.
64 and a half.
Yeah, my wife looked at me and I go, I just started tearing up. I go, I'm never going to own one of those.
You can still get them pretty cheap, Jack.
I know, but just, but there, it's a, to me, it's just, it's, I know there's better cars out there. Like even they say in the movie, you know, Christian Bale says it's a piece of crap. It doesn't have any power. It doesn't matter. It's just one of those things that just looks.
Yeah.
I just love the look of that car. I love it.
Yeah. The only thing I thought was odd about the film was how they kind of threw away Lee Iacocca because he's responsible for the Mustang, not the prick, you know? And I wondered if that's why they were just trying to, you know, they didn't want to make Lee Iacocca the villain, you know, because he really is responsible for Ford's boom in the late 60s.
Well, spoiler alert, he has the, you know, he's showing the slideshow and he gets interrupted, you know, I go, that's right. He worked for Ford.
Yeah.
You always think of him as Chrysler because he brought Chrysler out from, you know, the bankruptcy. where my dad told me, don't buy Chrysler stock. It was like $2 a share, went up to like 100. So it's okay, Dad. I forgive you.
So one question unrelated to the movie, but related to Lee Iacocca. Hmm? Does he like tapioca?
It isn't brought up in the film.
Okay. Just curious. I'm just speculating.
But the actor who played Shane in Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, yeah.
Is the actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have the Claire from shit.
Excalibur. No.
No.
I haven't seen the show, but I want to watch it. It's
the Scottish show.
It's a star show.
Modern Family.
No.
She goes back in time. Different.
It's like Highlander. Outlander.
That's
what it should be. Yeah. The main female lead of Outlander is in.
She's excellent. And the kid does a great job
It's
a really, really good movie.
It's a really good film. Like it's a plot that you've seen 1,000 times, but they execute it extremely well. And it's a good film.
By the way, plot executed 1,000 times but done really well.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't mention this on Owen and Beru's, but that's how I felt about chapter 3. You've seen this plot before, and I almost knew that this is what was going to happen.
Yeah,
and yet I was still engaged.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry.
I mean, Jack brought it up. Sort of, you know, with the image of Clint Eastwood, and I said that during Owen and Beru's is that that's what this was. It's a combination of the very end of John Wick chapter 2 and A Fistful of Dollars. I mean, that's what the episode is.
Yeah.
And,
well, I posted on Twitter and Facebook yesterday, the original,
I saw that
Mandalorian. I said, I put a picture of Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
It is Clint Eastwood. I mean, that's who I keep saying this week after week, but I said on Crazy Ant TV when I was recording this week, I said, with Brian, said, yeah, there's nothing that I'm shocked about. It's like, there's nothing you knew what was going to happen to Mandalorian the whole time, but it's still good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to sidetrack the Ferrari, but just that idea, Nick, though, that you mentioned the story told several times. It's like, you know, I think, and we even talked about this in the first RCAD, that idea of stories that have been told before and how you can retell them. And, you know, and there's other shows that are doing dynamic television or movies that are very inventive and pushing forward. But that idea that you can retell a story in a
Well, this was like a classic Clint Eastwood movie. It's every Clint Eastwood movie, he has his, you know, he has to have someone who's above him that's a prick.
Mm-hmm. Right?
He has to be the guy that says, oh, you know, fuck you, like Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
And there's someone he's got to defeat. And because before at Alamo Draft House, before they were doing it, they were showing different movies where there was us versus them, you know, competitor. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, I forget about that movie. And so, you know, leading into the movie. So it was, you knew how it was going to end. I don't want to spoil anyone that hadn't seen it, but I'm going to just say at the end, there's no way as a competitor, I would have taken it. That's all I'm saying.
Right. But that's what really happened.
I know, but there's no way I would have taken that.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say. But it's a fantastic, I enjoyed it a lot. It's a longer movie, but it didn't seem that way.
Except
when my back started tightening up, luckily the chairs are very comfortable. But I couldn't get comfortable. I'm like going, I can't get comfortable.
That was you and Cindy. You and Cindy both want
more. Cindy liked it. She goes, yeah, she liked it, but it wasn't like her favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Downton Abbey, but she enjoyed it. She was like, she goes, is that where they got the Shelby Mustang? I go, well, I'm guessing.
Well, he designed it.
Yeah.
That's what I also felt was good about it too. Is like, there's so many sidetracks they could have gone with that film. And they didn't, they kept it to exactly what it was supposed to be. Cause they could have gotten into more Shelby stuff and all the other designs he did for Ford.
Good thing Lucas didn't direct it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, 10 years he'll change it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, exactly. They just kept it to what it should have been, and that's what makes it good.
But, I enjoy it. Like I said, when they switch over from how Ford was, you know, old school, and they're saying, you know, these are the guys that, you know, it's interesting too. Of course, mm-hmm. you have Ferrari too. How, you know, the whole story there too.
Mm-hmm.
He did tip his hat too.
He did.
But anyway, if you like movies that are, you know, about people, go see it.
If you like to breathe.
Well, you know how movies today, they're more sci-fi and stuff like this and superhero movies. This is just, it's a movie about about several people.
Mm-hmm. But it's one of those periods in American history where I think the 60s, I think Mike Myers even talked about that, like why he was so fascinated with, you know, Austin Powers being from the 60s and The Guru, and like, I mean, even though it was a flop, like why was he so obsessed with the 60s? And I think his answer was it because it's kind of the last decade where Americans were allowed to dream and actually do their dreams. You know, yeah. After that, everything got so companies buying everything out and you have to go to the top, you know, and then right. Your ideas are
also just people. Even the idea of like, going into the 70s, you got Watergate, you know, it was a dark time, like just for American politics.
Well, it did change the way we looked at politicians. And
I mean, it changes the entire psyche of a nation where when you're, you know, I mean, you know, the idea of the
daddy lied.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is like, because you see this in this film and that, you know, Ford had no one raced in the Grand Prix or
Le Mans.
You know, no one did any of that stuff. You know, American cars. Not really. We had NASCAR. You know, and that's all we did, which is driving left for, you know, 500 miles or whatever. And
well, we had Indy.
Yeah, we had to have Indy. Yeah, but and so it was one of those moments where they just said, terrible, you know, statement. What? They said, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to make it happen, and damn the cost. And you know, today, you could, but you go broke trying to do.
But yeah, no one's going to do it today. And just the technology and how they work together. Mm-hmm. To do it also, it's just except for the one prick, fake Matthew McConaughey.
There always has to be one prick. I mean, that's yeah. the movie, yeah.
And he usually plays a good guy.
He does, yeah. Josh Lucas, that's his name.
Yeah, but he was a dick in this. But I wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Several times.
Well, that's because, I mean, that's the thing that's neat about that. Is, you know, Christian Bale even says that early in the film, you know, about like, you're going to work with Ford. You know, he's like, and you're going to have these people. And then these people, and all they're trying to do is impress the people that's just above them, you know. And they're right. You know, and that's what Josh Lucas is he's just a kiss ass that wants all the credit for doing nothing.
And there's a great scene with Matt Damon and Henry, the guy that plays Henry Ford II. Well, they call him Deuce. But that scene where he takes him out,
yeah,
in the car,
that was a good one.
It was. Funny, and then also like, you know, then you're laughing, then you go, oh wait, he's emotional for another reason.
Yeah, exactly, because it meant something to him. Yeah,
yeah. You think, well, I'll spoil people.
Well, you think he's scared. Yeah,
yeah. Which you crying. Know, who yeah. wouldn't be? But he's crying for another reason. They wish his dad could have experienced this power of the car. Yeah,
right.
It's a minor, tiny spoiler. It's not. It doesn't change.
Well, because I mean, in a very subtle way, the film is about fathers and sons,
right?
And that's another reason why it's good. And especially at the end, that's what I'm saying. That's even though there are other touching moments of what they're trying to say with fathers and sons, the very end one though is one that got
my me. Father never touched me.
Yeah, just for the record.
I don't know why I said that. It's probably because I'm on my second beer, but
if you're on your third beer, would it be a different answer?
Maybe.
but
no, I do recommend it. Nick was right on that one. It's a really good movie.
Nick, what was the movie that you saw?
So the movie I saw was a Japanese film called Parasite. And I knew nothing about it going into it. I just knew that it had some good reviews, and I like watching cinema, you know, regardless. And you think with a title like Parasite, it's going to be a horror film, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking when you said it. I go, that's got to be a horror film.
It's not. It's about a family of con artists. Huh. And you know, the reason why it's called Parasite is because they're leeching off of a family, you know?
Okay.
And it's very two different films. Well, it's not. It's one, but it's two different main acts, you know, like the first act is, I'm not going to get too spoiler into this, but because I do recommend everyone go see it. If you like, I mean, it is, you have to read subtitles. So if you're not the person that reads subtitles, then sorry.
Are they in English?
No, they're it's a Japanese film, and they do it in Portuguese.
Okay, so, that's cool. All right. Yeah. So I know ahead of time. I can bone up on my Portuguese.
Yeah. a little bit of Sanskrit too.
Okay. Well,
is it? Do they play the Nick Drake song?
Which Nick Drake? Oh, they should have. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Totally unrelated.
Sidetrack. Why don't you stop interrupting him?
Okay, I won't interrupt Nick anymore. Say what you. Jack, fuck you. He's interrupted him.
Yeah, he's taking over for Chris it starts off very innocent and very normal type film in that a best friend who is teaching a young girl English is having to leave and said, "Hey, I want you to teach this girl English." And you're like, "Okay." And all you know about the family is that they're poor.
Wasn't this Lost?
Huh?
Son learned English. And
I think it was Billy Dean Williams.
Okay. I thought you were filling in for Chris and you were going to bring up Carl Weathers.
So he gets into this family and he's teaching this girl English. And then the wife of the household says that she needs an art teacher for her son because she thinks he's gifted. Hmm. And so he's like a typical con artist, like, "Oh, I know somebody. Would you like for me to introduce them?" And it's his sister, who knows nothing about art. But it's just because they're so gullible, the family. Hmm. And slowly throughout the first half of the film, they're introducing other family members as these professional people to just leech money from this family.
Hmm.
And then it takes a very interesting twist. And it just goes down this darker and darker rabbit hole. And at the very end, you're just kind of like, "Whoa!" I mean, it's just different, and it's not like that stuff that I like.
You have me intrigued now.
Yeah,
you know the fact that there's a twist that comes within that. So,
Is this at a normal theater? Is there like an independent theater in Boulder? Or?
I'm not living in Boulder, so we have a Cinemark here that showed it for a few days, which is the one I caught it at. But we do have an independent theater called the Lyric that's privately owned just by community people here, and
it's Fort Collins.
In Fort, there you go.
I know it's one of them.
So I wanted to catch it, and I don't think the next film. There's not anything coming out anytime soon, other than Star Wars and 1917. I think the only two films left.
1917 looks really good.
I've heard some good things about that. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, what's his name is in it?
Thomas.
Because he was also in that movie I saw with the
Yesterday.
He's in the Bruce Springsteen movie.
Bruce Springsteen, yeah, that's
he's excellent.
Blinded by the Light.
This kid's going somewhere.
Let's hope. Yeah,
he went out a window, but he's going somewhere.
He went head first though.
But that movie looks because it has a what's his name? Bunder. I'm trying to blank on his name. Cumberbatch.
Benedict
Cumberbatch. I know I couldn't remember Benedict.
That's what they say in the South.
Yeah. I'm learning South, Southern language too. But no, that looks good. There was actually a lot of movies coming out it looks like they're getting almost back to making movies.
Let's hope.
Well, and I I mentioned this in the first half. We went to see Frozen 2. We're in line, and I see, like, oh, they have A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. So that was the other movie that I was kind of like, okay, you know, I want to see this, you know, Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm intrigued. Color me intrigued. And I loved the documentary that they did, about 2 years ago on Mr. Rogers. Won't You Be My Neighbor, I think is the...
Be My Neighbor.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really good. We didn't go to the movie theater to see Won't You Be My Neighbor, but I think we rented it or bought it or watched it or somehow we streamed it. So some way, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it because, you know, Tom Hanks ruined my childhood. So,
Well, okay, so there's two movies though, you know,
Our like, Bosom Buddies,
the documentary, was, yeah. and then the Tom Hanks movie. So
I did see the documentary.
Yeah. No, that's what I was referring to. The documentary, okay. though, we did stream that. The A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I have not seen yet though, but we were in line and we were like, well, are we gonna get tickets to Frozen 2, or is this gonna be something that like everybody in our small town just came out on this rainy day to watch? So fortunately for my daughter's sake, we got to go see Frozen 2. And
how is the Tom Hanks movie doing? Anyone know?
I don't know, but I know Frozen 2 crushed it. Yeah. And it got my daughter to stop talking about Baby Yoda for 5 fucking minutes. Like, I'm serious. You think, oh yeah, Baby Yoda, you know, people think it's cute. There's all these memes and stuff like that. No. It's deep. The shit goes deep. This cuteness level, like my daughter being 12, I mean, it's just like, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda. Like, I mean, it is real.
Now, what happens if they're going to pull like a Monty Python's Holy Grail and he's going to be like the bunny rabbit? Like, he looks all cute now, but he's got fangs and he can leap, you know?
Have you thought about washing your mouth out with soap?
He's
actually, can you still do that now? Can you? No, I'm not talking about Baby Yoda. I'm talking about your daughter.
My daughter? Why? No.
She keeps saying Baby Yoda. You said she's driving you crazy. Oh. You can't do that anymore?
No, I'm not going to do that.
I think it's a bit harsh for that.
Okay. Although, speaking of washing your mouth out, our local theater.
I'm just kidding.
Our local theater here in town, that's just 2 blocks away. It's an old theater. It's been around for 100 years. They've refurbished it. They play old movies.
It's really like The Watchmen where they have a piano player?
No piano.
I actually would like that, to see a silent film with a piano player. I think that would be cool. It could experience it.
Yeah. But they play a lot of different movies throughout the year, but come this season, this time of year, they play a lot of Christmas movies. So this weekend we're gonna go see Elf, which is a, you know, classic. Yeah,
can't go wrong with Elf.
Can't go wrong with Elf. And then next week, or the week after that, we got tickets to go see A Christmas Story. So speaking of washing your mouth out. Mm-hmm. And we round out the Christmas.
Oh, fudge.
We round out the Christmas movies with Christmas Vacation. Oh. A couple.
Voted the number one Christmas movie.
It's probably the. It's probably the only verses that I've won.
I always forget James Caan is in Elf.
Yeah.
When you think comedy, you don't think James Caan
and Peter Dinklage.
That's true.
You know, I still don't believe that. I mean, I love Christmas Vacation, and I love A Christmas Story. A Christmas Story is probably my go-to, but I still think White Christmas is still probably the best. But that's just me.
Really, White Christmas?
I think it's just because that's the one my dad grew up watching, and he makes me watch it every year, and I like it. I really like White Christmas because it's a good story, and
it's fun. Yeah, I mean, I like White Christmas.
I couldn't relate to that growing up in San Diego till later on in life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I still like all the time. I still go like, you know, snow. I still do it all the time.
Yeah, I know. There's lots of great songs in that movie, and you know, that end with, you know, they're putting on the show for,
mm-hmm. For the GIs and all that.
Yeah, you know, that's really nice. I know, watching that with my mom one Christmas, like, you know, like, mom's crying. Like, why is mom crying? Like, this isn't cool. why is White Christmas making my mom cry?
Because like, she's being replaced. Your dad was going to replace her.
No. This was much later. No, I think
yeah. I think it's funny how like the older you get, the more you cry, you know, because like things just mean more to you and
yeah.
You relate to things.
Well, you remember, you know, certain things.
Yeah.
I think also too, I mean, we're more, I don't know, maybe not, but I mean, I do think that there's a certain aspect where we're a little bit more in touch with our feelings, you know, yeah. It's not like we're a little bit more beyond that. Like I can't cry. Like I'm going
to
be.
Times are different. You're allowed to cry now. Whereas before, I mean, obviously, you know, up until what, 20 years ago, well, Mike Schmidt cried when he retired, and that made it okay for everybody else to cry.
I don't know who Mike Schmidt is, but I'm glad that he died for our sins.
Even I know.
He's still alive. everyone in Pennsylvania just disowned us right now.
I don't know who Mike Schmidt is. I'm sorry.
Probably the greatest third baseman in the history of baseball.
And that's why.
But he, when he retired, he cried, and we're all like going, "Wow, Mike Schmidt's crying."
This is why your name for this podcast is called "You're a Shitty Artist," right, Jack?
Yeah, exactly.
For the listeners at home that don't know what, every time we plug into this video chat,
I just noticed your toboggan. I never didn't even notice that.
We get to name ourselves, and so yeah, I named myself Toboggan. Jack named himself "You're a Shitty Artist." So.
But it's not directed to you. That was what.
Oh, no.
No. That was what it was. What you should tell these kids. And
okay, all right. So I didn't finish this thought earlier. I'll go ahead and say it in this extended. So the one time that I probably, because you know, I mean, yes, like you do have to kind of be forthcoming about certain people's artwork. But the one time that I was probably a little bit more forward or harsh with students was when I taught a senior level class, where it was all artists, whether they were drawers, painters, sculptors, ceramicists.
They're all in the same class?
They're all in the same class. And it was a senior class that was designed as kind of a like, so you want to become a professional artist. Here's what you need to know.
Can I ask a question? Doing the sculpture, the clay sculpture, they get like, where people are like, hey, you're getting shit clay all over my easel. Stop.
They weren't all in the class making stuff at the same time.
Oh, okay, all right.
They were actually writing resumes.
I could just see ghosts where, you know, Patrick Swayze and anymore there.
Ceramicists get such a bad rap from Ghost. I'll tell you, most ceramicists that I know, they're all like Grateful Dead, hippie smoking.
I didn't even know they were called ceramicists.
Oh.
Yeah, there's an episode of Friends where Joey's teaching an acting class, and his first line is, so just so you know, if some of you guys are going to be, you know, serious actors, some of you need to become a lot more attractive.
I do remember that, yeah.
And I fully expect Matt to say something like that too. Like, hey, just my only goal for this class is for you guys to pop out like 100 pieces of artwork in a few months, and then maybe you'll die, and it might be worth something then. Because that's the only way artists make money.
not true. Thank you for perpetuating that stereotype, Nick.
Well, a little, hey. Right?
Hey.
Made money while he was alive.
Okay, well, artists do make money while they're alive. There's just different ways that they make money. So usually they have a lot of like, you know, things happening all at once. So that was probably the one class where I got to be a little bit more real with them and say, okay, if this is what you want to do, you really need to start hustling, you know? And one of the things that I tell artists as they're entering their senior year and they're about ready to graduate is I tell them, no one is looking for you. It's like,
you play the song, Do the Hustle.
No, I do not. I don't play disco.
I think they'd be fascinated by that.
I will consider that, but usually at the beginning of that class, I would play like a little video clip of something that we would talk about. So, you know, sometimes I would play some Joseph Campbell interview, you know.
I think the hustle would be better, but okay, it's your class. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Well, I don't teach that class this semester, so if I ever get a chance again.
You know why? Because I think if you play Do the Hustle, you'd have like a permanent job there.
Thanks for you know, breaking my spirit.
I'm just offering you advice.
Thank you. Thanks for that. I'll take that under advisement when I never teach that class again.
Do the Hustle. Bum, 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 bum. Now that song's in my head. I'm sorry.
Well, you're the only one.
True that. So anything else you guys have been watching on Disney Plus? I know you guys have been watching The Mandalorian. Have you dived into anything else on Disney Plus?
Not on Disney Plus.
No. I just finished Hill Street Blues. And it's funny, the final season.
Not on Disney Plus, but go ahead.
I know, but I'm just telling you why I finished Hill Street Blues. And I'm on the final season. And I'm trying to remember, because I think I was working nights. And I think I would, at that point, I was... And I go, wow, I just kind of ended on a thud. It was like, because nowadays shows, they know they're going to end, that there's a conclusion. You know, they kind of wrap it up. And now I forgot to research it, whether they knew they were going to be canceled or not.
Oh, sure.
Coming back because the precinct does burn. There's a fire, but it's like, okay, did they know this was going to end? Because they did a shitty job. And for a great show, the ending was kind of like, you kind of left me hang. It could have gone on another year. What was the deal? I mean, I don't know. So,
Wall Street Blues.
But no, I haven't. Then I started Mary Tyler Moore today.
Oh, nice.
I'm like five episodes into it.
Yeah, I think the only thing I watched on Disney Plus, other than The Mandalorian, is I watched Doctor Strange for the second time.
Oh, and, okay.
Because I didn't care for it that much in the theater when I saw it. I thought it was just kind of like typical. And I felt the progression of him going from like a doctor to all of a sudden like master was like too quickly. Mm-hmm. It happened too quickly. And then the second time I was like, oh, I actually liked it a little bit more on second viewing. But
is that with Buttered Nuts kept what?
You're going into your southern accent there, Jack.
No, I was joking on that one because I screwed up the first time.
Okay.
Man, I know I've got stuff written down to watch.
There's a short, and maybe some of the kids grandkids that you watch will enjoy this, but they're only like 5 minutes long. They're Pixar shorts. My kids love them. They come out weekly, and it's Forky Asks a Question.
What?
It's
Fuck You Ask a Question?
That's exactly what I think that they say, but it's called Forky Asks a Question.
So is this a good place?
No. it's a kind of taking off on Toy Story 4 and so, when the character.
So Fucky asks a question.
Asks a question. And it's really funny. There's probably about three or four of them by now. Hilarious if you haven't checked them out. Worth the watch. So, okay. like Nick, I dove into like some Marvel movie the other night. I was just like, I don't really remember Iron Man 3. Like, what does he do in Iron Man 3? Who's the villain? So I started to watch that.
I know. I've seen it, but like, I'm like you.
Iron Man 3 is horrible.
Better than Iron Man 2, right?
I liked
Iron Man 2.
It's not
my favorite, but I mean,
apparently Iron Man 2 could have been a lot better from Mickey Rourke. I remember Mickey Rourke saying that there's a lot more to the story that got just cut, edited out for time. And said it would have been a much better film if they'd have left it at its original length.
Mickey Rourke said this.
Mickey Rourke. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know, but still. But
Mr. Plastic Surgery.
But yeah, Iron Man 3, I loved up until the twist. Because they'd been setting up the Mandarin from movie one.
Right.
And it just, to do that was a neat first time viewing twist. But after that, you're like, dude, you just robbed diehard fans of something they really wanted. And then just, it went to a very stereotypical storyline of just like, oh, it's this underappreciated young, person. And they're trying to get, to me, I don't care anymore. After that point, I just thought it was a horrible film.
Whenever you bring Y2K into a storyline, I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I do like at the end of Endgame that, the kid is there, at Tony's funeral. And so I don't know if they're going to tie that kid back into a new phase or what. But
right.
I haven't seen that yet.
You haven't seen Endgame?
No.
Well, guess what? It's on Disney Plus.
Is it on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
It's been like 6 months, Jack.
I know the ending because everyone.
I'm pretty sure Endgame is on Disney Plus. Am I right? Or am I just thinking?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, when I go on Disney Plus, when I have time, I go watch a movie that I've already seen that I know I like. I don't know why I like Miracle. I like Sandlot. There's all these.
No, I'm the same way. Like I look for older movies or, it's weird because I'm in this place right now where I'm still exploring Disney Plus, and my Netflix account is like, what about me?
Yeah, Netflix is like used to be my number one go to guy or girl,
right?
Number one go to person, and now I'm neglecting it. I still have the 100. I started Peaky Blinders, and I'm stopped halfway in the middle of an episode.
Oh,
start watching something else of Peaky Blinders, and I love Peaky. It's not that it's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I got to watch something. I think I had to watch Lost. There was something I had to watch, and I forgot to go back to it. I still have Man in the High Castle. I haven't gone back. There's too much to watch.
The streaming wars have begun.
And now I'm on Hulu, that I didn't have for like 6 months. Now I'm watching Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah. This is a topic that would probably be better for the regular RCAD, but I was reading an article the other day about that, how, you know, the cable, because everyone's cutting cable now, but the bundles was the way to go, because, you know, like, oh, I'm paying $100 or I'm paying $140 for every channel for this. And now, though, because of Hulu and all that stuff like that, people are cutting the cable and going to this. But now everyone's coming out with these individual streaming services, and it's getting to the point where it's going to do the same thing again, where it's like, yeah. Oh, I'm paying $15 for
Amazon. It's going to be worse.
Yeah, I'm paying $15 for Amazon. I'm paying $15 for Disney. I'm paying, you know, like, it's just like, oh, now I'm paying $200 again for all these individual services. And then someone's going to go, oh, we should just bundle them all together again for $200 a month. And you're like,
well, now and that, I could see that happening in the future. I think what's nice, though, I mean, to that point, though, Nick, is that I still have control over my monthly watching. So at some point, if I feel like I'm not using one of the services, and maybe I should have cut Netflix for a month just because I'm using the other services. But you do have a little bit more monthly control, whereas with when you did sign up for cable, you know,
you're locked in.
You're locked in for 2 years. Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, we'll give you the sweet deal for 3 to 6 months. You got all this great shit for free. But then boom, for another.
And they slam you.
Oh, they do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're locked into that, you know, with, at least with these streaming services, you know, you're open to moving around. And when I signed up for Disney, I just was like, all right, I'm doing the 2 years, pay it up front. I got the third year for free. I'm just going to bite the bullet and just do it. So now it's all paid for. It's not a monthly fee anymore for me for Disney Plus. It's just like, okay, it's in the bank. Like, whatever, I paid for it. You know, I realized that, like, it is money that I've paid for. It's out of pocket, but it's not a monthly fee. And I think
that's like Nick is saying, though, we were saying, you feel excited. I cut the cord. Well, now I got CBS app. I got Hulu. I got Amazon. I got Netflix. Now I have Disney and I have Apple. And I'm not even watching anything on Apple.
But see, the Apple I got for free.
We got the first month for free. So I have to decide if I want it, because I started watching the All Mankind, which I liked the first episode.
Yes, we haven't even talked about that, but I watched.
But again, it's been pushed back to everything else because.
And the second episode is just as good.
I mean, it's really well done.
It is really well done.
In fact, everything else we're doing, it's just I can't.
In fact, our first episode of All Mankind. I mean, it's sad that, you know, it's taken this long for us to get around to talking about it, but oh my gosh, like. The end, and I'm not going to get spoilery on this. I'm just going to, like, kind of talk in vague terms. But what happens at the end of the first episode, you're like, yes, yes. And it's predictable. You expect it to happen. But the way that they do it, it gets you to a point psychologically that by the time this thing happens, you are so relieved and so excited that you feel the emotion of all of the characters. And I thought it was really well done. I really do.
But the beginning, the first like 10 minutes is not predictable.
Oh no, that is not.
There's, I don't want to spoil anyone, but there's a twist and you're like going, you go, ah, yeah. I didn't see that come. And I did, cause I hadn't heard anything about it. You know, I mean, I heard that it was coming out. And I said, I want to see that because I like space and the whole program and stuff like that. And I went, wow, they did that. They did that really well.
And Ronald D. Moore of Battlestar Galactica fame is the executive producer.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some good stuff in there. I mean, I'm glad that I have that for free for a year. I'll probably be checking out some of those things. But when I cut the cord, which was in 2012, I still feel like in the long run, I'm ahead because... I didn't have all those years with cable, you know, and I have been kind of inundated with you know, if I'm not using Hulu, I put it on sleep. If I'm not using Netflix or if I'm not watching anything on HBO, like fine. Like, I'll
we always, what's it? Once the TV season ends, we cut Hulu till September. We just cut it
like during the summer,
right? And then but usually Netflix is the one because there's all the shows and they have everything. Like they have old shows on there you want to watch and stuff. But I just with all these new streaming services, and it, like I said, eventually NBC is going to do it. You know, ABC is going to do it. I mean, it's just a matter of time before.
Sure. All
these companies do it. And people are complaining. I said, well,
yeah.
Well, it's the nature of the business. It's just.
Well, I mean, the flip side to this, too, and I also did this when I cut the cord. I bought a DVR and I upgraded our antenna so that I could receive digital signals and just record my TV shows. So, it's a little bit more money up front to do that, but then you can record everything that's on the network with a DVR and just fast forward through those commercials. Same as what you get on Hulu or CBS or NBC. And Nick, you were going to say something.
Well, the only one that's making me mad is HBO. Cause like you already have a service, you know, it's like, I'm already paying $15 a month for HBO. And now we're introducing HBO Max. I'm like,
right.
I'm already paying you $15 a month as it is. Shut up.
Right. No, I agree with you there. Like it's HBO Max. Like, and I mean, they've announced some certain things that are coming to HBO Max, like the Studio Ghibli movies.
What all is HBO Max? Am I that far behind?
It hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have HBO Now, HBO Go. There's another HBO?
Well, HBO Now and HBO Go are basically just ways for you to stream your existing service.
Right.
But that's when they're coming out with another channel though. It's going to be called HBO Max, and it's going to have more original content. I'm like, so you're going to make me pay another amount of money for another channel?
To use a Christmas Vacation quote, bend over and I'll show you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'll just boycott that out of just spite. It's like, no, I'm already paying you $15 a month for
HBO. But you know, there'll be something great on there, and everyone's going to talk about it, and you're like going, oh, what am I going to do? Because like Silicon Valley, I'm like two or three episodes behind on that, and I love that show.
I am too.
A lot of this, I just forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after I watch the kids, you know, now I got two kids now to watch, and they're both young. I mean, they're, you know, 15 months and 3 months. You don't have a lot of time to sit there and watch it, you know, watch a show. You know, I got them to watch Hill Street Blues a couple times, and they'll watch MASH and they'll watch some shows. They'll watch it for a little bit, but, you know, it's just not a lot of time in the day to, and then once they're done, then I got to do the rewatch. I got to watch Mandalorian. There's all these different shows I have to watch.
Yeah.
That I have to watch. So,
sure.
Anyway, my poor life. it's just the days of sitting around watching, you know, 8 hours, because I used to like at night. After we record, I'd stay up to like 3 or 4 in the morning and go, okay, I'll just catch up all the shows. Well, now I got to get up in the morning to watch kids. I got to get some sleep because I got to be patient.
That is the big trick with being a what would you say? I don't want to say being your babysitter because you're not. You're no.
Nanny?
Yeah. Nanny.
But I mean,
they call it Papa's daycare, my kids.
But I mean, I remember taking care of my kids during, you know, when they were little. And yeah, there is a lot of patience where you're just kind of like, okay, deep breaths here. Okay. All right.
I have more patience with my grandkids than I did my kids.
Oh,
it's like night and day. Maybe because be fair to me, my kids were at work with me. I had a business and they were there. So it was like, it's a great, you know, the peanuts that it was a UPS store or a mailbox, et cetera. And during Christmas, you'd have to load up on the Pelspan. It's Pelspan, but they're people call them styrofoam peanuts. And I'd get these huge bags shipped to me. I'd get like 15, 20 bags at a time. Well, I got opened up and my dad would come pick them up on Saturday. And I just had the two girls that day. And I could hear him doing something in the back. And I go, what the hell? But I was so busy, I couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. And my dad goes, oh. Well, what they were doing, they were climbing up on the counters that would hold the cardboard boxes in there, the flat, you know, the boxes that aren't put together yet, and diving into the peanuts. So, but as doing so, their shoes, their hands, they would rip the bags open. So there were, I mean, literally
peanuts everywhere.
Billions. I'm like, finally I go back there. I go, what the fuck is going on back here? And I go, all right, girls, let's go. We'll see who's picking him up. Yeah, Cindy. I go, nobody. I don't want them anymore. And they just thought it was the funniest thing in the world because they're swimming in these peanuts. And because they were diving up, and there were so many, they were, you know, there's no way they're going to get hurt because they're like two packs. I mean, they're like 10 feet long, you know, about 3 feet wide. And these, and they're just, took me for, it was a nightmare. So yeah, it wasn't a lot of fun taking your kids to work with you.
My kids came to work with me, and there were a lot of times where, so this is a little bit of a visual gag here, but there was a lot of times where I would get a phone call. And I'm taking an order on the phone, and my daughter would try to be talking to me. You know, she's like 3 years old, you know, or 4 years old. She's trying to talk to me, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
You know, so for the audio listeners at home, I'm holding up a finger, pointing, and being really quiet, trying to like shush my daughter, you know, as I'm trying to take down like credit card numbers, billing addresses, being trying to be as professional as possible. No, there's no kid in the background here. But yes, it is very tricky though, you know, like that balancing act. But they survived. So
I know when I've told this story before, when we first bought the store, I didn't know it had a silent alarm. I just didn't know. The guy didn't tell me. And so and it's funny because my daughter who set the alarm off is about as old as her daughter is now, about 15, 16 months old. So all of a sudden I see people looking in the store and looking, I go, what the hell are they looking at? Well, all of a sudden I see this cop behind one of the pillars going with a gun point. I go, no, I'm not coming out here. So he's like going, so they finally, they like three or four of them come in with their guns drawn. I go, what is going on here? Go, who's with you? I go, my daughter. I go, come on. I go, what do you want? And then they made me go to the back of this. One of them grabbed my daughter, took him out, and she's kind of, I go, what are you doing to her? I go, you need to go back to the store. They made me go first. I go, what if there's, so afterwards I go, what if someone was back? I go, I get shot. I go, well, we didn't know who you were.
Jeff,
I go, I said, would a criminal, someone robbing the place, bring their daughter with them? We didn't know it was your daughter. I go, anyway, but there was all these cops everywhere outside the building with guns pointed towards the thing. And wow. I go, what do you, what's it? You set off the, you set a silent alarm. I go, I don't have a silent alarm. So then I went, we found it. It was underneath the cabinet. She was playing under there, and she pushed the button.
Sure.
You can't really. It was under the register, but you really had to look to see it. I go, so what I did is I put a piece of plastic over it and taped it up. Really, I said, well, screw it. And I'm not going to. But that it was it scared the crap out of me. But, yeah, that was bring your kids to work with you. It was a great, 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 great. Lot of fun.
Well, that's good stuff. All right. Well, we've talked for pretty good time. Yeah,
this is a good bonus episode for people.
Yeah, I mean, I know we haven't had a bonus episode in a couple episodes, so
stop your bitching, people.
We have not had any complaints, so don't make them complain. But if
you were telling me before the show started that people are complaining, we have to do it.
I didn't say that. Don't spread lies. Anyway, if you do want to send in any feedback to us, you can do so at the.
Didn't we get an email?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, we did.
But that should be for a regular RCAD note.
Oh,
I just dawned on me that we did. I think I saw an email.
It's for Chris anyway. So we'll just. Oh yeah. It was
for Chris. So yeah, who cares?
Well, thank you, Jen. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Hopefully you are a patron. I wanted to respond to this because she asked for meatless suggestions and I'm,
and that's you.
That is me, but I have no idea if Jen
usually is. You're called gutless, but meatless would work here.
Wow. And on that note, Jen, I don't know if you're a patron member or not. I'll try to email you back with some meatless suggestions. So
what would be some meatless suggestions for Thanksgiving? That's tough
for Thanksgiving. Well, yeah. my son and I, we happen to really love this brand called Field Roast. And they make what's called a celebration. I think it's called Field Roast or Field. They make a celebration roast. My wife, we slice it up and we make a meatless gravy that goes on top of it. And it's really delicious. My son really actually loves it quite a bit. My wife has also made kind of a vegetarian beef Wellington. So there's no beef in it.
Have your kids ever had meat, or they've always been?
They've always been vegetarian. Although my son is really, he really wants to work on the turkey this year. So we are going to my in-laws to prep for Thanksgiving. And so today he was telling me, like, I kind of want to help with the turkey. I'm like, what the fuck do you think you're going to do, kid?
See, you can be a baster.
Yeah.
I guess he can baste it, you know.
Are they baking the?
He's not going to be a master baster. That's my job. What were you going to say, Jack?
Is it now?
No, I don't know if I can top that. Are they baking the turkey or frying it?
I think they're baking it.
Yeah, I can't go to bake turkey anymore.
Yeah, sorry, I can't do so. But anyway, I'll try to remember to send some other recommendations. My wife is always the cook extraordinaire, and she's always come up with really great sides or what have you. She actually had a really great sweet potato that she did the other day. I mean, I know everybody has like the sweet potato casserole and all of that stuff, but
not a fan.
This though was really good because it wasn't sugar coated. It was actually sweet potatoes, like with this really great butter all over it, and roasted in a way where the outside like of it had a very nice texture to it. And it wasn't overpowered by brown sugar or, you know, cinnamon or anything like that. It was very simple. And
I'm just not a fan of sweet. In fact, we started doing that fresh Hello Fresh meal, like three meals a week with the Hello Fresh. I think it's Jessica Alba's one. But we started doing that again. But we had stopped one. I said, I can't do this anymore because everything they send is sweet potatoes, sweet potato fries, sweet potato. And I don't like them. I just don't. Yeah. I said, I'm tired of paying for this when everything is sweet potato. And it's like they must get them on special because it would just be clobbed. It would be a little piece of stuff. And
that's why I quit. That's why I quit. Sorry, Jack.
No, go ahead.
That's why I quit Blue Apron. It's because it was I liked the concept.
It was Blue Apron. That's what it was.
I quit Blue Apron because, you know, I wanted to learn how to cook some things, but I also wanted to eat healthy. And all they kept sending me was meat with carbs, like so it would be rice or potatoes or something like that. And every now and then you might get this was a couple years ago. You know, you get collard greens or that'd be about it. You know, and it's like, and I'm like, I actually want some kind of greens though, like, you know, give me some broccoli, give me some green beans, give me something of actual vegetable. But all they were sending me was just carbs and meat. And I was like, I can do this on my own. I don't need this. And so I quit. And then I went to, this is what Cliff and I use now, which is Freshly, which is pre-made meals for you.
Yeah. That's the one I was telling Cindy, I said, they have these meals that are good. Cause I like cook. The meals are great.
Yeah.
Because like you say, I use stuff that I would never use. Like when I'm cooking, I just mix things up because you have to do their. I said, these things come made already.
Yeah, they do.
You stick them in the microwave and zap them. And
yeah, I've been using Freshly for over a year now. Cliff started, I think, in February. And I do it like every other week. You know, I get four meals. And that's plenty. You know, they're all about 500 calories a piece. And, you know, the ones I get, will always have a green vegetable in there with it. I won't get it if it's anything else. Just because I want something like that. I was like, that's the whole point for me is that to eat vegetable.
Yeah. It's amazing how, like, you know, as we get older, it's just like all of the punishments that we had as a child are actually the things that we're trying to strive for. It's just like eating your greens, taking a nap. You know, these are the things that we're trying to get.
The nap thing was always tough for me, but I always liked vegetables except lima beans. That and I didn't like sauerkraut.
So yeah, we don't. I mean, you know, butter beans, which are a smaller version
of lima beans. They suck.
Yeah. They can be good. Yeah, I know, like my coworkers that I've talked about plenty of times at SoCal Gas in LA, you know, because they're all in their 20s. And it would be like 3:30, 4 o'clock, and they're all, I'll be all excited. They're like, what are you so excited? I was like, I'm going home taking a nap. They're like, what are you, like 80? I'm like, you just wait. Yeah. Like, you just wait. Are you going to go home? Like, I'm going to sleep for 30 minutes. I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's what I liked, because today I just had Ava.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow I have Ava. And Monday I had Ava and Hayden. And I thought, I'm not going to go to sleep because they're going to, he's going to wake, because he went to sleep first. I go, he'll wake. Well, they both slept for like 3.5 hours. I'm like going,
wow,
I could have had a great nap. But today, I said, it's just Ava. I go, I get a nap. I look forward to my naps. I mean, it's like a certain time of the day, like around 10:30 in the morning, I start getting tired because that's my nap. It's like I become that old guy. I need my nap.
Well, before we all fall asleep from this podcast, I hope all of our listeners enjoy their Thanksgiving nap brought on by a whole heaping load of turkey tryptophan, even though Jack has already had his dose. So, Nick, do you have any Thanksgiving plans?
I'm leaving Thursday morning to head up to Devil's Tower in Wyoming.
Nice.
And then over to Deadwood. I'll take pictures for Jack.
Oh, man, I'm jealous.
Devil's Tower.
Have you ever been there before?
No, that's why I'm doing it. I mean, yeah. I've never been in that. I've been to why am I forgetting the name of it? That
it's
area.
It's a pretty butte.
Yeah. I've never been to Devil's Tower, but I've been to Mount Rushmore. But, you know,
okay.
So I've been in that area, but I've never been to Deadwood or Devil's Tower. And then if I have time, I'm going to go over to the Badlands real quick and then come back.
Yeah, Cindy and I want to do. She wants to go to Deadwood someday. And I go, yeah, I'd love to go to Deadwood.
Once you go into the Badlands, though, man, you never come out the same. So, anyway, this was a great bonus. I enjoyed talking. I feel like I could continue talking to you guys.
Yeah.
So, but we have another show to do next week. So,
I can hear it already. Bonus episode's almost as long as the real episode.
Well, that's why we have them. So,
hey, why don't we have Ralph on next week, and then we don't have to show up?
That's true.
That would just be Ralph's show.
It would just be Matt and y'all.
You all, everybody.
Hopefully, Chris will be back next week to either pick on me or I can leave. So,
you're the producer. You can't leave. That's the problem.
I can. I can leave whenever I want. I don't have a contract. You don't know me, man. All right. Thank you for joining us, everyone. I would thank the patrons, but you know who you are. We already thanked you. You're getting this bonus episode. So.
Yeah, exactly. So back off.
Back off. And Jen, we'll try to make sure that we read your email next week when Chris is on board, because I know you have a Chris comment in there. But happy Thanksgiving to you if you are a patron. And cheers. I don't know. This was 1 in 2 million.
If you're traveling, have a safe trip, because the weather's going to be bad in a lot of areas.
Yes. Yes. Some rain coming. So
rain and snow.
Yeah. All right. Well, good night, guys. I don't know. How do we end these? Like, how do we end the extension?
Just buy.
Just cut it?
They paid for their...
Great show, kids. 1 in a million.
Cut it like a turkey.
Yeah, that's it.
This is the head.